Welcome to our worship service. When you and I think about the work that Jesus does for us, we would typically think about things like Him living a perfect life, Him dying on the cross, Him rising again from the dead. We'll talk about Jesus' ascension here in a couple of weeks. Did you know that Jesus does something else for us while He's in heaven? He's not just preparing a place for us, but the Bible teaches us that He's praying for us. Jesus did that while He was still on earth. He did that with His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, but He specifically prayed for us, for all believers. And that's very comforting to me, to know that Jesus has that love and concern for us in our lives here and has our best interest in mind. We're going to talk about that in our sermon and see how Jesus shows His love for us by praying for us and all of our best interests. Our first scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul has the opportunity to preach at the Areopagus in Athens, and what he finds is that the people there don't really know the true God. They have all kinds of idols that they're worshiping, but they don't really know who the true God is. Paul uses this opportunity to teach them about the one true God. Then Paul stood up in front of the council of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking around and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar on which had been inscribed to an unknown God. Now what you worship as unknown, this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made with hands. Neither is He served by human hands as if He needed anything, since He Himself gives all people life and breath and everything they have. From one man He made every nation of mankind to live over the entire face of the earth. He determined the appointed times and the boundaries where they would live. He did this so they would seek God and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, indeed we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by human skill and planning. Although God overlooked the times of ignorance, He is now commanding all people everywhere to repent, because He has set a day on which He is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man He appointed. He provided proof of this to everyone by raising Him from the dead." Our psalm reading for tonight is part of Psalm 119. We'll read these selected verses responsively. "How blessed are those who are blameless in their way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Indeed, they do no wrong. They walk in His ways. If only my ways were unwavering in keeping your statutes. I will thank you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes. Do not abandon me completely.
How can a young man keep his path pure? By guarding it with your words.
With all my heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments.
I have hidden your sayings in my heart so that I may not sin against you. With my lips I tell about all the judgments that come from your mouth.
I rejoice in the way that is taught by your testimonies, as much as I delight in all judges.
I will meditate on your precepts, and I will consider your paths. Our second scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. "You and I have been blessed with the gift of faith, and we know what that faith is and what it means. There are a lot of people, however, who do not. So when we have the opportunity, we should be prepared to talk about our faith in a simple way to share that good news with others. But regard the Lord, the Christ, as holy in your hearts. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that is in you, but speak with gentleness and respect while maintaining a clear conscience, so that those who attack your good way of life in Christ may be put to shame because they slandered you as evildoers. Indeed, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, because Christ also suffered once for our sins in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but was made alive in spirit, in which he also went and made an announcement to the spirits in prison. These spirits disobeyed long ago, when God's patience was waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In this ark, a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went to heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. God's word for our encouragement are the verses of this gospel lesson from John 17, verses 20 to 26. Here's what Jesus says. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Dear fellow worshipers, one of the things that we're able to do because of our Christian faith is to do things together as Christians. Tonight we're together for church, we get to sing together, we pray together, we're studying God's word together. As a congregation, we support the Lord's work together. There's all kinds of things and blessings that we have. One of the ways that we encourage one another is by talking to each other, especially if we're going through a difficult time. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone about something you're going through and they end up having gone through the same thing, and you can console each other and learn from each other. Have you ever had someone say to you, "Well, I'll be praying for you"? Isn't that comforting? Going through a difficult time and one of your fellow Christians is praying for you. They're concerned about your well-being. They love you as a fellow Christian, and they want what's best for you. Very encouraging. Well, I can think of one thing that's even more encouraging than that, and that is that our Savior Jesus prays for us. He has our best interest in mind. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives, and he prays for specific things for us, so that we can continue in our life of faith and eventually have that home in heaven with him. So tonight we're going to spend a few minutes talking about these Bible verses and being reminded that our loving Savior prays for us. He prays for us that our faith would increase and grow. He prays for us that we might have that glory of heaven someday that Jesus already has now. And he prays for us so that the same kind of love that God shows to us is the same kind of love that you and I might reflect to others. This section in the Bible is often called Jesus' high priestly prayer, and it has three parts. First, Jesus is praying for himself. He needs to get through his suffering and death. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, like our window shows, above the altar. And this is the first thing he talks to his Heavenly Father about. Father, give me the strength to get through the betrayal, the arrest, the awful death, everything. The second part of Jesus' prayer is to pray for his own disciples. He knows what it's going to be like when Jesus is gone and they're still here and they're to carry on the Lord's work. They needed to be strong in faith and understand what was happening. So Jesus prays for them. And then the third group that he prays for is really us. Jesus is praying for all believers who would ever have faith in Jesus. And the fact that he's praying for all believers tells us how important what he's talking about really is. And what's he praying for? Well, he wants us to be strong in our faith in him and the things that he has done for us. Sometimes people read these verses in the Bible and they see the word be united as one, unity. And I've heard people misuse this Bible verse and say, well, Jesus wants everyone, all the churches, to be united together and have one big happy church together. The word that I hear a lot these days is called ecumenical, where everyone has that unity and they're just joined together as a big group of people. Well, Jesus is talking about unity here, but it's not a unity of people. It's a unity that's based on the teachings of God's word. Jesus would say the same thing at his ascension when he gave the disciples their instructions. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything I've commanded you. The unity was in believing the things that Jesus had done for them by faith. And now Jesus, on that basis, we have unity with him. He wants that faith to increase and grow. He knows all the temptations that his own disciples would face. He knows all the temptations that you and I would face. He's praying for a believer's faith to be strengthened because he knows what it's going to be like for us living here in a sinful world. And that's what God does for us. By the power of his word, he brings us to faith. We saw that in Molly tonight, being baptized. The Holy Spirit brought her to faith and forgave her sins and gave her a home in heaven. By God's grace, as you and I continue to live in our faith, we're being strengthened right now as we're studying God's word together. Holy Communion, that's an assurance of our forgiveness, and it's also a strengthening of our faith. Think of how important it is if Jesus is praying to his Heavenly Father for you and I to be strong. Think of how important it was for Jesus and how important it should be for us too. We're not to fall into the trap of thinking that unity means with all other kinds of people, and we let our guard down about spiritual things and risk the chance of missing out on what that truth really is. God wants us to be so focused on him and his word, so focused on the truth of the Bible, that our faith gets stronger all the time. And that's what God gives us the opportunity to do while we're here. Jesus is praying for us that we'd be strengthened in faith so that we're not led astray by false teaching, but continue to believe and trust in him. Usually on New Year's time, we make New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you've done that before or tried to do that before. Maybe you decide you want to be healthier or you want to read more books than watch TV or, you know, something like that. Get more active. There's all kinds of things that we intend to do, but sometimes we're not very good at it. We make the promise to ourselves, but don't always follow through. You ever do that with spiritual things? You ever say to yourself, I'm going to be in church more this year. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get through the whole thing. I'm going to make a better point of having meditations or devotions each day. I'm going to make a better point of living my faith in a sinful world. Well, you and I have all kinds of good intentions, but sometimes that's all they are. We get busy with other things, and those good things that we promised ourselves that we wanted to try and do don't really work out the way we wanted them. Think of how important it is to be strong in our faith. If you and I are weak, the devil knows that. He's going to continue to tempt us even more. And by weakening, we're not prepared to handle the difficult things that come along in our life. Jesus is praying for us. He wants us to be strong in our faith. And he wants us to be strong because the second thing that he prays for is for you and I to have glory, meaning he wants us to have our home in heaven with him. That word glory means something like this: to receive honor or admiration for some kind of achievement, some kind of goal. Maybe the Academy Awards come up on TV and the actors and actresses, they want the glory for their part in a movie or something that they did. If you watch professional sports, the NBA finals are on, hockey finals are on. When that last team is standing there, they really want the glory and they've worked hard for it. And they want that praise from other people for the things that they've accomplished. Well, Jesus wants glory too, and he has that now that he's back in heaven. He has that glory that he set aside while he was here on earth so that he is now seen as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But he wants believers to have that glory, and Jesus has earned it for us. He has come here and lived in our place. He's come here and died for all of our sins. He's come here and opened the door of heaven to us. His resurrection, that's our resurrection. He's given us the opportunity to have the glory of heaven, to have that perfect life in a perfect place with him. And that's what we've received by faith. As soon as we're brought to faith, we have a home in heaven. And I like to say that it's not a question of if we're going there. We have a home in heaven. It's really just a matter of time. And that's why Jesus is praying for us, praying to keep us strong in faith, praying for us so that we can be kept in our faith, so that you and I can be blessed with that wonderful home in heaven when the Lord returns for us. Jesus wants us to have that perfect glory of heaven, a perfect place, a perfect body, just like Jesus' glorified body, a perfect existence in heaven that never ends. That's what Jesus has lived and died for. That's what you and I have by faith, and that's what he prays that we will continue to have. People are looking for glory today in their accomplishments. A lot of people want a pat on the back for the things that they do. Sometimes we're even tempted to think that as Christians, if we're faithful to the Lord and we're doing what the Lord tells us, that somehow we're deserving of the things that God has for us. But you and I don't really deserve anything except God's punishment. There's nothing that you and I can do to deserve any glory from God. Jesus comes here, he's the Savior. Then he sends the Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit creates faith. As we use God's word, he's strengthening our faith. The home in heaven hasn't been prepared by us, it's been prepared by our Savior. There's no glory that we receive ourselves, and never should be. The glory belongs to Jesus, and we benefit from it by seeing the wonderful love that he shows us, that unconditional and unlimited love that he has in our lives. Jesus, our loving Savior, is praying for us. He wants us to be strong in faith. He wants us to have that glory of heaven. And while we're waiting here, he wants us to have the kind of love for others that God, our Heavenly Father, has for us. Here's his last encouragement. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus is talking about love for others. You think about his kind of love. It's unconditional. I like to say there's no strings attached to God's love. God has this wonderful love for us. It's not only unconditional, it's unlimited. It's for everyone, every single person. And as Jesus was here on earth, he is making God the Father's love known to everyone who will hear about him and listen to the message that he's sharing. Well, what's Jesus' prayer for us? He wants you and I to reflect the love that God has for us and show that love for others. Think of how God shows his love for us. He gives us our life here. I like to call this our time of grace. This is our opportunity to be brought to faith. There will be no other time. God shows his love by sending Jesus here. And it's hard to imagine sending your own son into the world to die for sinful people, but that's God's kind of love. Jesus shows his love by being willing to go through this plan. And part of what he prayed in the high priestly prayer was, Father, if there's another way to save the world, let's do it a different way. But when there was no other way, Jesus said, okay, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is ready to do all of this for us. Think of the love that Jesus has to show that kind of love for everyone, even those who would never believe in him. Jesus wants you and I to reflect that same unconditional, unlimited love in our lives of faith. And why does he want us to show love for others? Because it demonstrates the fact that we love God. That's our whole motivation. We see God's love, and now you and I want to love other people. For that reason, we consider it a privilege to be a Christian and to use our thoughts and our words and our actions in a way that honors God and shows our love for God to others. The way we treat people, the way we talk to them, the way we deal with them is to reflect the kind of love that God has for us. And we're happy to do so. We see what God has done for us through our Savior Jesus. We see what he's done to save us. And you and I want to reflect that love to everyone else that we know, just as Jesus did while he was here on earth. All of these things that Jesus is talking about in our Bible reading are so important. And if he's praying for them for us, just think how important that is in our own lives of faith. Our loving Savior is praying for us and wants us to reflect his love for others as we live our lives here. Quite a few years ago, there was a popular slogan called WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? I saw it on wristbands and t-shirts and hats and all kinds of things, and a lot of people liked it, and it probably helped people think about Jesus and the part that he plays in their life. I did talk to a few people, though, who thought that Jesus was only an example. What would Jesus do? And they thought, well, I look at Jesus' example, and then I'll do what Jesus did, and then somehow I'll earn God's favor or blessings by following the example that Jesus made for me. Well, maybe there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is just a good example. But he's more than that, isn't he? You and I might at times think that Jesus is just a good example, just showing us what to do and how to live and how to do things like love one another. But he's more than that. So I thought of a different slogan. WDJD, what did Jesus do? Jesus came here and lived perfectly in our place. Jesus did die on the cross and pay for all of our sins. Jesus did rise again to take away our sins and assure us of our resurrection. Jesus did go back to heaven, and now he's preparing a place for us, and now he's praying for us. Those are important things. Jesus did more than just give us an example. He gives us our salvation. And for that reason, we know why it's so important to grow in our faith. We know why it's so important to focus on the glory that we'll have in heaven. And we know why it's so important to continue living as a Christian and reflect God's love to others, because our faith means everything to us. So a lot of things that you and I are blessed to do as fellow Christians, to worship, to encourage. We pray for each other. Great blessings. But one even better, Jesus is praying for us. And he'll have his prayers heard and answered as he keeps us in our faith and keeps us on our path to that glory of heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll join in confessing our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Heavenly Father, you have not forsaken us or left us to our own destruction, but you kept your promise and you sent Jesus here as our Savior. We praise you for his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection. Because of your faithfulness to your promises, we have the gift of salvation. Dear Savior Jesus, we praise you for carrying out your Father's plan. Your resurrection is undeniable evidence that you have won the victory over sin, death, hell, and the devil. Because you have been raised from the dead, we know that we have our salvation. Holy Spirit, we praise you that through the gospel you have led us to know and believe that Jesus is our only Savior. We can say confidently that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Preserve us in our faith in Jesus, raise us to newness of life, and continue to give us the blessings that we have received by faith. Triune God, kindle in our hearts a love for all people. Equip us with both the will and the words to tell others that Jesus is their Savior too. Use us to share that simple message of the gospel so that many others may have the gift of salvation. Lord of life, comfort all who are going through difficult times, those who mourn the loss of a loved one or are facing health issues and so many other things. Comfort us all with the assurance that because Jesus lives and rules, he will watch over us and continue to guide our lives each day. Remind us even at a time of death that it's not a defeat for a Christian. Death is a way of getting home to our permanent place in heaven. Thanks be to you, Lord, for sending Jesus here as our Savior and for bringing us into that wonderful fold of believers. We pray this in our Savior's name as we join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.